Bibles and remain standing. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 4 through 9 together. Daniel chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. All right. Daniel chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. Folks, I might get a little wound up tonight. I'm not mad at you. I'm just mad at the stinking devil. Amen. So I might throw a little fit here, but it's going to be appropriate. So I was nice this morning. I can't be nice all the time. Amen. It's just, shut up. Daniel chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. And again, let's read this passage responsively. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and as such had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuch gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And let's pray. Father, thank you. We need you. Our country needs you. Lord, I pray that as we live here in maybe what the world would call kind of a small rural type area, just on the outskirts of the big cities, Lord, we can change our part of the country where we live and our neighborhood and our houses and our town and our counties where we live. And I pray that you'd use us tonight as a mighty fortress to get the word of God out in these end days, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Our world is changing so fast and so much that it often it's hard to keep up with. I hate saying this. I'm only 48 years old. That used to sound old. It doesn't anymore. But I'm only 48 years old. I'm not quite 50 years old, and our world has changed so much in the last 15 years, it's not recognizable. It used to be okay for a boy to break his arm or his collarbone. Where are you at, Malachi? And everything was okay. Now you take a minor to the hospital, and one of the first questions that child is asked is, has anybody done this to you, and have you been abused? It is amazing. It used to be okay for a boy to bust his nose, break his finger, get a bloody nose, or lose a tooth playing football. Now, they can't ride a bicycle unless they got a license, they got a helmet, they got shoulder pads, arm pads, knee pads, elbow pads, and pads on their bike just in case it falls. Good night. If we'd have ever seen somebody riding a bike with a helmet on and it was a boy, either they were playing Evel Knievel or we were going to chase them down and beat the snot out of them. Used to be, you could look and tell if a person was a boy or a girl just by looking at them and not asking them. And now they might be a boy, but one day might want to be a girl and you don't know what they are. It's to be determined. I read the news this week. This came in on, I think, Thursday or Friday on the news. This is this is sick. Now, it's not perverted in the sense that it shouldn't be heard by all people, but it's perverted in the sense of this is where our country's at. Educators in the volunteer state, that's Tennessee for those of you that don't know, are very concerned that students might be offended by the usage of the traditional he, him and hers, according to the document from the University of Tennessee Knoxville Office of Diversity. With the new semester beginning and an influx of new students on the campus, it is important that we participate in welcoming all and inclusive for all, wrote Donna, whatever her face is, in posting on the university's website. One way to do this is for students to choose a name and their correct pronouns. For all you folks who went to school back where there was only him and her, here's a primer. Some of the new pronouns are Z, H-I-R, Z-I-R, X-E, X-E-M, and X-Y-R. There are dozens of gender-neutral pronouns, she declared. For all you folks who went to school back when there were only him and her, these may sound a little funny at first, but only because they're new. Then the she and he sound strange, too, if we had been taught Z when growing up. And they call us weird. Somehow, I sincerely doubt, but whatever, anything goes for the sake of inclusivity, correct? This is the person writing the article saying that. Instead of calling roll, ask everyone to provide their name and pronouns, she wrote. This ensures you are not excluding transgender nor binary students. For example, the birth certificate may call Big Earl as a male, but what if Big Earl identifies as a lady with the name LaWanda? He's weird. Why would a guy named Big Earl want to be called LaWanda? Doesn't say much for the name LaWanda either. According to the procedure outlined by the folks at the Office of Diversity and Inclusion, the professor is expected to say LaWanda or whatever name makes Big Earl feel more included. We should not assume someone's gender by their appearance, nor by what is listed on the roster of his student file. Transgender people and people who do not identify with the gender binary may use a different legal name and pronouns of their gender identity rather than the pronouns of the sex they were assigned at birth. It's all confusing, right? So thankfully, the Office of Diversity and Inclusion has devised a way to prevent you from calling sir and ma'am. You can always politely ask, she wrote. Oh, nice to meet you. Insert their name. What pronoun should I use to ask you questions with? Let's just say that not everyone is on board with this new gender-neutral pronoun thing. Lots of folks in the big orange are, matter of fact, blood red. They ought to be. Red, white, and blue. It's the most ridiculous thing we've ever heard, Republican State Senator Mae Beavers told me. If you must do this to students, that's not acceptance. That's absurd. This isn't inclusion, she said. This is radical transformation of our lives and language. I reached out to the Vice Chancellor for Tolerance and Diversity. Yes, they really do have such a thing. But I was told he, she, her, zer will call me back. There you have it, folks. His and hers is no longer good enough at the University of Tennessee, where there's for anything for the sake of gender inclusivity, including common sense. I wonder if they have a gender-neutral word for idiot. Welcome to mainline education in America today. By the way, that's just one of many that are going that direction. I have to be so careful as what I say, because the heathen, the sodomites, and the liberal world are trying to impose restrictions on preachers on what they may say. I use the word sodomite because it is a scriptural word, and I cannot be taken to court over it and found guilty, just so you know. There are other names for it. I will not use it. Say why? Because sodomite is God's choice, and it is, in their eyes, a religious word I'm allowed to use, and as the word they hate most. Used to be in America that the word gay meant happy. Did you know that man used to mean a person who had male biology? Did you know female was a person who had female biology? You know, I wonder where forensics is going with this thing. Did you know DNA is not gender neutral? Did you know that bones are not gender neutral? Did you know that plumbing is not gender neutral? I'm sorry, I don't know how else to say that and be appropriate. Good night. I texted Brother Joe this week. He and Ashley have about 14 million chickens. No, about 300 or 400 chickens up there, and they do eggs. I said, Brother, I can tell you how to double your business profits. You ought to sell your eggs as rooster eggs because your hens want to be roosters. Now you have gender-neutral eggs laid by hens who want to be roosters. And you could sell them for twice as much. And there's idiots that would buy them. You don't have to do that. Maryland's close enough. Did you know... And please listen to me, and I'm going to say some sensitive things here. Did you know there was a day when a black person wasn't offended by being called a black person or a Negro? Because that's what they were. And by the way, it's not an offensive term, just so you know. Did you know there was a day when white people were called white people? And we were all called Americans? Did you know there was a day when hot meant something wasn't cold? It wasn't a sensual term. Do you know there was a day when cool meant something wasn't hot? Everybody doing all right? Did you know there was a day when women had different jobs than men and it wasn't offensive? That didn't mean women were less of a person. It meant if a woman couldn't do it, a man was supposed to and it was considered a man's job. Sorry. Did you know there was a day when dads went to work and mom stayed home and watched the kids and we didn't know what the term house husband meant? Getting down to where we live now, huh? There was a day when children went to school and had to pass their classes and get real grades. If they couldn't read, they didn't get moved along. They stayed in their class until they got done with their work. By the way, there was a day that the police officer was obeyed and respected. He wasn't the bad guy trying to get you. And they didn't come up to the gas pump while they were pumping gas and shoot him. America is not the world we grew up in. Here in Daniel chapter 1. Don't get me too mad. Here in Daniel chapter 1, we have the story. Daniel and millions of Jews were being taken captive by what is known as the Babylonian captivity. For 490 years, the Jews had not kept the Sabbath year. They had violated God. They had preachers for almost 500 years warning them, either change or God is going to judge you. God's going to get you if you don't do it. For 490 years, they missed 70 Sabbath years. They disobeyed God. God was very patient with the Jews. He finally had enough and said, that's it. And he sent the Babylonian Empire in. They destroyed Jerusalem. They took the best of all of the young people, the college age young people and young adults, those that were in upper level classes, had the ability, they were skilled in skilled labor. They brought most everybody out of Israel into the capital of Babylon, but those that were of the upper level, they brought them in near the king's palace, and the king was going to use them, train them for 3 years, train them in the Chaldean language, train them in the Babylonian ways, so that he could use these slaves, these Hebrews, to lead the Jews that were in captivity to follow the Babylonian way. It's not unlike anything we haven't been doing for thousands of years. When we went in and took over Germany in the end of World War II, we took German people and retrained them away from the Nazism and trained them in right so that they could have a new structure of government without the Nazi influence. We did that in Japan. We did it in other places. We didn't do a very good job of it, but we did it. Now, listen to me very carefully. Babylon. Where is Babylon? Babylon is Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Syria, Turkey, and Jordan, and Saudi Arabia. That is the Babylonian Empire. The best and brightest went there, and the king, I love his name, one of those names in the Bible you just like to say, King Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know why I like it, but I like it. King Nebuchadnezzar. And King Nebuchadnezzar was a strange person. One minute, he was happy. The next minute, he wanted to kill everybody, hack them in pieces, and turn their house into a manure pile. Just the kind of guy he was. He was just a strange critter. Now, Nebuchadnezzar brings these young potential leaders near the palace. He wants to train them, and he does some things. He changes their names, he changes their diet, he changes their education, he changes their clothing, and tries to transform them into something that they are not. He's trying to make them what the Babylonians are and remove them from what the Hebrew culture was so that they would lead the Hebrews into the Babylonian way. Now, he wanted them to change and help everybody else who is a Hebrew change. Daniel wanted nothing to do with all that change. But he was one of the top dogs. He was one of the best. He was willing to lead, but he wasn't going to give up his faith. He was not going to change truth in order to do it. He couldn't do anything about getting out of the captivity. And he was going to make the best of a bad situation, but he was not going to change his faith and truth for anybody, for anything. Now, listen to me carefully. He wanted to survive and function in the captivity, but he wasn't going to change what was God's to do it. The Bible says that we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. Guess what? That means we have to live on this 25,000 mile round ball of dirt and water spinning in the air. We're not getting off, for very long at least. We're not going to get off. We've got to live here, but we don't have to live like the world says we're supposed to live. God and Christianity and the Bible and truth are under an all-out attack in the world today. We have become captives virtually like Daniel. Everybody doing all right? The world can talk about sin and filth and immorality at work, but bring up the name of Jesus or start talking about the Bible and, oh, you can't do that here. You can talk about cheating on your wife and going and getting drunk, or you can talk about some filthy, vile show that you watch, and that's okay, but bring up God and you're not allowed to do that. Everybody doing all right? Hang on. You talk about Jesus. That might offend somebody. Well, can I tell you something? Their filth offends me. Their immorality offends me. Their vileness offends me. Their lack of patriotism offends me. We need modern day Daniels. We Christians need to stand. And we have to live and function in this world, but we don't have to become like the world while we're in the world. Babylon will rise in the end days during the tribulation. You have not seen the end of the Babylonian regime. Babylon will rise during the tribulation. It will have great power. If you turn to, not right now, but you can go later and read Revelation chapter 17, chapter 18. It talks about the rise of Babylon. Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, and all those other little Muslim countries right there. By the way, this deal with Iran right now and the nuclear thing, it's all part of the end day thing. It's all lining up just the way God said it was going to be. Russia's gaining power. China's gaining power. And they're all going to be brought down by Jesus himself. And we're riding back to watch him do it. Now listen to me. It will be in full power by the second half of the Great Tribulation. By the way, we are seeing it today. Now, we're not in the tribulation. The rapture did not take place. I'm still here. You're still here. You'll know when Brother Hawkins comes to church by himself, the rapture happened. No. His wife's not here. Somebody's got to pick on him, keep him awake. Amen. Now, let me say this. Did you know, and this is an interesting fact. You can look it up. It's true. Saddam Hussein thought that he was the reincarnation of the leader of Babylon. In his bunker and in his palace, he had written that he was the king of Babylon. It's time for us to stand like Daniel in modern days. I'm not here to scare anybody. Can I tell you something? The moment that trumpet sounds, all fear is ended. Folks, I just keep looking up. It's coming. I like watching the news and listening to news and reading the news from time to time about all these Middle Eastern countries and how they're killing Christians and how that Israel's getting mounted up right now. You say why? Because they're going to put Russia down. They're going to have to employ people for 7 months to mark the graves of the number of Russians that they killed during the tribulation in Israel. Everybody doing all right? I want to show you in just a few minutes about how to take the right kind of stand. I want you to notice something. Daniel stood for the rest of his time for the next 70 years. He didn't lose his leadership because he took a stand the wrong way. He gained influence. Number one, Daniel purposed not to change some things. Look at verse number 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. I want you to notice that word purposed. The word purposed means planned in advance or to make impenetrable. Folks, I'm willing for people to tell me, preacher, I don't understand something. Maybe you, by the way, I make mistakes. I'm not afraid to tell you I've made mistakes. But can I tell you something? I've never made a mistake about salvation. You get saved by grace through faith and that alone. It's not by works. It's not by the will of man. It's not by some other God. It's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. What he did alone, that gets you saved. By the way, there is nothing anybody can do once they've gotten saved to lose their salvation. All kinds of idiots out there telling you, well, there's an unpardonable sin. If you commit suicide, you're going to commit the unpardonable sin. That's a lie out of hell. I don't suggest you do it. It's only a sin you commit once. But it's not a good one. You missed that one, all right? That was supposed to be funny. Laugh. All right. Don't pay much, don't get much. There's only one sin that is unforgivable by God. Let me tell you what it is. It's the rejection of salvation. It is the rejection of salvation. Folks, I live, breathe, die. That book's never going to change. And if you want to change Bibles, go ahead. But I'm not going to. We're going to preach the old King James. There's people that tell you, well, those people that change the Bible, they can lose their salvation. That's out of the pit of hell. That's wrong. I've heard Baptist preachers say that, but that's not what Revelation 22, 18, and 19 says, just so you know. I personally believe somebody that's saved isn't going to fiddle with the Word of God. It doesn't mean they lost their salvation. You can't be unborn. Once you get saved, you have the eternal genetics of God, and for you to lose your salvation, God is a liar. And God didn't lie. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided truth would change, didn't matter where they were. Did you know they weren't living in their homeland when they decided this? I'm for a young person who, I really think young people ought to put a year in Bible college. It's good for them. They get grounded. They may not be going into the ministry. That's fine. My son Jeff put 1 year in Bible college for his mother and I. And by the way, he's glad he did. It solid him up in many areas. And it's good for him to be in a controlled environment, grow up, get rooted, and find out what they really are. I'm not opposed to it. He didn't finish. He didn't go for a degree. You say, aren't you disappointed? Not at all. I told him before, I don't need a mama called, papa sent preacher in the ministry. You're going to flake out and hurt a bunch of people. If God didn't call you, just be a good solid layman. I have no problem with that. And he is. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hang in there. But these guys decided they were going to stand. Didn't matter where they were. Did you know you're supposed to stand for right when you're on vacation?
Yep.
Do you know you're supposed to stand for right when you're at work? Do you know you're supposed to stand for right when you're at school, young people? I'm fixing to. Hang on. If you're going to live as a Christian, you'll need to plan to do it and plan not to change. I've had preacher friends over the years. They got tired of fighting the battle. Brother Bush, aren't you going to change? No.
Amen.
Kick the other one over.
Amen.
Folks, I hate to tell you something. You're going to have to decide, no matter who your friends are, you're not going to change what the Word of God says. It doesn't matter who changes. I don't care how much you respect them. I don't care if they were the first preacher you ever had and you believe every word they say. Can I tell you something? I believe God over any human, including myself. I've known a lot of preachers through the years that I used to respect who have changed. I wouldn't listen to their hound dog now. Matter of fact, I'd listen to their hound dog over them. Their hound dog keeps bawling the same way. They're not. Folks, Daniel purposed. You'll have to purpose not to change. You're going to have to decide what you believe, why you believe it, and decide you're not going to change it. Number two, there were some things Nebuchadnezzar tried to change. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these. I'm going to race through it, and I'm going to get to the end fairly quickly. There were, five things that Nebuchadnezzar changed with these Hebrews. Number one, he changed their names to get them away from their godly heritage. If you look at verse number 7, under the prince of the eunuchs gave he names, for he gave Daniel the name of Belteshazzar. That was the name of a false god. The name Daniel had reference to Jehovah. Everybody doing all right? And unto the name Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. The king actually changed their, and we'll use a term here, their Christian names, and gave them ungodly names. Did you remember the article, Big Earl, if he wants to be called Luanda? He doesn't even have to do it legally. He can just do it. Wow. That's different. The transgenders and the sodomites now change their names anytime they want, and they don't need to legally do it. They can call themselves whatever they want anytime. We want to get rid of him and her and put Z and Zer. People now want gender-neutral names. The big thing today is, in society, gender-neutral names. So that you don't know if Mike is Mike a boy or Mike a girl. Or Jordan a boy or Jordan a girl. We've gone to, and I'm not telling you, I don't think we have either of those names in here. No. Well, we already know what Mike Schenberger. Anyway, thank God he's a man. Now, listen to me. It's stupid. Our world wants we don't want, listen to this statement. We don't want unity, we want unification. We don't want equality, we want unification. That's communist. That's satanic. So, he changed their names. Number two, he changed their education. Look at verse number 4. He talks about those that were skilled in languages, those that were skilled in the sciences, and in all wisdom, cunning, and knowledge. Hey, education today hates God. Period. Educated people look at Christians and call them weak infidels who don't know anything, who don't have enough sense to blow their nose. The average public education in our world today, you tell them you're a Christian, they'll laugh and scoff at you. Socialism, humanism, and communism is acceptable and taught in our schools today as acceptable. Case Bernie Sanders, running for president, a professed socialist. By the way, not recently either. He's said for decades he's a socialist. May well be the next Democratic candidate as a socialist. Everybody doing okay? Science today is taught that if you believe in God, it's not science. And if you believe in God, it's not real. Evolution. I could go on and on. By the way, today, science is not even based on truth. Evolution is not truth. It's never been proven as truth. It doesn't pass any of the scientific method at all. We want to impress people with our knowledge of facts, but not our ability to use facts. By the way, college is not for everybody, and I don't think every person in America should have to go to college. Our government wants everybody to go to college so that they can train them and train their brain with socialistic philosophy. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. They were also educated here, and if you read the rest of the book of Daniel, you'll find out in witchcraft and sorcery. The fastest growing religion in America today since 2010 has been witchcraft and Wicca. It's not the largest, but it is the fastest growing religion in America. By the way, that's why I think Harry Potter's of the devil. Well, it's just cute fiction stories. It's witchcraft and Satanism. So he changed their names. He changed their education. Number three, he changed their language. We have perverted the American English language. We have perverted our language. Liberals are now making us believe that politically correct is the way to go, not grammatically correct. Man is deciding for himself what words mean. Well, to me, it means this. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Wow. Sounds like another time in Scripture. Folks, we have no right to decide, well, I'm a man today, tomorrow I might want to be a woman, and until then I'll just to be decided. And it might change again. Okay, number one, they need help. God made me a man. I had no desire ever to be a lady. Sorry. God bless you women. I'm married to one. I had a daughter. But there ain't one drop of feminine blood in my body. My five favorite words in the English language, thank God I'm a man. Amen. By the way, if you're a lady, it ought to be thank God you are a lady. Not me, you. See, I caught myself on that. I wasn't going to say it. Well, I was watching Brother Harry. Is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? No, I didn't. Folks, we have perverted the language in America today. Listen to the average young person speak. My daddy would have slapped me upside the head if I ever said, yeah. I don't think I would have had a head left. I'd only done it once. It was yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Isn't that the way it was supposed to be?
Yes, sir.
Now you have adults who don't want to be called sir or ma'am because, you don't need to do that. That makes me feel old. It's respect, and we need to teach it, whether you like it or not. Boy, I got to go on. Number four, he changed their diet. Most of the things offered to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, were offered to the false gods and their idols. And they would take the food that was offered to the idols and feed the king in the king's palace, because the king was second in line, and he lifted himself up as a god in the kingdom of Babylon. Watch this. Daniel would not defile himself with the meat and the food offered to the idols. Everybody doing okay? It was contrary to Hebrew law, if you go back to the Old Testament. Now watch this. One of the first initiatives our president's wife took place, was to change the diet in America. Michelle Obama has no right to tell you what to put in your mouth for food, neither do I. I can put whatever I want down my cotton picking throat anytime I want, and it's nobody else's business, especially the government. Your children going to public schools nowadays, the teachers are going through their lunches, and if you don't have the right things in their lunch, they'll charge you for a lunch and take what you packed for them away. That would have only happened once when I was a kid. My dad would have owned the school. Let me tell you. Folks, the government has no business telling you. Have you ever noticed, those of you that are my age or 40 or over, have you ever noticed how trends have changed? Yep. Drinking coffee's bad. Drinking coffee's good. Drinking coffee's bad. Drinking coffee's good. It changes about every 5 to 7 years. One study says it's bad. One study says it's good. One study says it's really bad. Another study says, man, it'll make you healthier. Bless God, I'm going to die someday. I'm going to die happy drinking coffee. You can drink your carrot juice and all the other things and die happy too. I'm not happy with carrot juice. I'm happy with my coffee. You're not going to live any longer than I am by much. Folks, I got to go on. I could get real downright upset right here. Did you ever notice the studies? 51% of children in America today are overweight. The next commercial. 53% of young people in America today go to bed hungry. Now, wait a minute. That's 104%. We're in trouble. Have you ever noticed? Have you ever looked at those numbers? They don't mesh. Don't believe everything you hear. Now, I believe it's time to get children off their blessed assurance, get them up, teach them to work, teach them to go outside and run, not play video games all the time and have the strongest fingers in the world. Used to be you go out and play football, not play it on Nintendo or Xbox or Wii or whatever those things are. Good night. Used to be you went out and rode a bike and wore tires out. Build tree houses and fall out and break your arm. Beat your brother with a hammer while you did it. All those fun things, amen? I got to hurry. Number next. Nebuchadnezzar later changed their music. If you went to Daniel chapter 3, verse number 5, it talks about sound of the cornet, flute, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all these things. And they played rock music in front of a 90-foot tall statue made of Nebuchadnezzar. And he changed their music, and everybody was supposed to bow. Notice there was only 3 that didn't. Notice there was only 4 that decided they weren't going to eat of the portion of the king's meat. Doesn't say that all the Hebrews were behind Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Everybody doing okay? There's only 4 of them that did. You're going to be in the minority, but can I tell you something? You're on the right side. Don't worry about it. I'm on the winning side. I must hurry. Give me about 3 minutes. How did Daniel take his stand? Daniel did it with a good attitude and was not nasty about it. Look at verse number 4. I want you to know something. It says, children in whom was no blemish, watch this, but well favored. That means they had a good spirit about them. Look at verse number 10. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse likening than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king? Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants. Let's do it for 10 days. And after 10 days, quit reading there just so you know. He said, let's put it to a competition for 10 days. You check us out after 10 days compared to everybody else. And whoever's the healthiest, we win. Then take it to the king. He didn't take a nasty stand. He didn't get a bad attitude. He didn't get up in the king's face and say, and make all kinds of rude comments. He just said, I'm not changing. I can prove it to you. Let's do it the right way. You let us do it the right way while everybody else does it the wrong way. And let's see who's stronger because of it. He purposed to live by principles and prove God. Look at verse 12. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Wow. He allowed opposition to test him. Can I tell you something? We live in such a mamby-pamby, wimpy little generation. Oh, somebody offended me. They said that Christians are bad. Oh, come here, let me burp you. I went soul winning one time and somebody slammed a door in my face. Only once? Good night. That doesn't happen every time I go. I didn't do something right. Folks, your principles are only known when they're tested. You can tell me what you believe all you want. We'll find out what you believe when it's tested. By the way, I'm sure thousands of others stood with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But they were the only ones to speak up and do it. God not only delivered him from trouble, but made him more prosperous, and the world came closer to him. He won the king's favor because he chose to live right. Can I tell you something? Many who hated Daniel began to love Daniel because of his stand. I know not everybody loves this preacher. They never have and never will. But to know me is to love me. No. But can I tell you something? I'm not worried about who does and who doesn't. I'm worried about who I get to love. I'll stand for right. I'll love God. Can I tell you something? Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, because they decided to prove their principles, watch this, were able to help thousands of others live right and draw a lost Babylonian world closer to God. Eventually, they started following Daniel's ways a little closer. Because of Daniel's influence, 70 years later, Ezra gained favor with the king and was able to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. And the king of that nation gave them the money to rebuild it. And it all started with four young men who decided to take a stand. By the way, according to verse number 20, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. And Daniel continued even in the first year of the king of Cyrus. All four of them got promoted. Best workers at work ought to be Christian people. The best behaved, the best and the hardest working students in a school ought to be the Christians. Everybody doing all right? The best behaved at home with brothers and sisters ought to be Christians. And I went to meddling, didn't I? And I'm just going to go ahead and say it, and you can get mad at me, but the strongest marriages in our country ought to be by Christians. We ought to step up and say, I'm going to do what's right because that's what I'm supposed to do. Huh. That's how Daniel took his stand. America is in trouble. The Lord's coming back. We don't have long. We might as well take our stand, but let's do it the right way. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here tonight. Maybe you just need to decide you're going to take a stand. Maybe you need to decide that you're going to have to purpose some things. Maybe you've been afraid to do some things as a Christian. Maybe you need to decide you're going to tell somebody about him. Maybe you're going to need to decide you're going to step it up in your separation or your soul winning. Maybe you're going to decide you're going to step it up in your faithfulness to church and to doing the right things for God. Maybe you're going to step it up in your relationships at home with husband, wife, mama, daddy, brother, sister. Maybe you're going to step it up where you work and just really hammer in like a Christian should.